So we're looking at Titus chapter 1 verse 5. Set in order. Okay. So Titus chapter 1 verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order. You know, no matter how blessed a minister is, anointed, he would still have need for others to commit his trust to. And then here is Titus, who is a young pastor. And the responsibility of Titus is that he should set things in order. He should set things in order. He should make sure things are the way they ought to be in the church in Crete. And he is Paul's son. That's actually Paul's convert. You see that in verse 4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith. And for this reason, I have left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set things in order. A true son in the faith. A brother. A brother to Paul, definitely. A partner with him. A fellow worker. They walked in the same spirit. They walked in the same steps. And that assignment, why Paul writes to Titus, is so that he will know that Crete, or the church in Crete, is in disorder. So he leaves him with an assignment of setting it in order. And this setting in order, you know, Paul further writes to advise him to appoint elders, you know, men of proven spiritual character, to oversee the church work. So it's the same for every man of God who has sons. There are things that will be committed and say, you know what, keep this very well. Ensure it does not go bad. Is this the things in order? And actually, what happened was that after like a successful evangelistic sort of campaign on the island of Crete, there were young people, a lot of young people, to take care of. So Paul, having working with Titus, is saying to Titus, I'm going to leave you in Crete to build stable churches. I'm going to leave you in Crete to make sure that the church is growing strong. I'm going to commit this life to your hand. Oh, Titus, make sure that you set things in order. Make sure that the church is not moving haphazardly. So, churches who were left with young people, and Titus was supposed to be taking care of them. And, you know, it's said actually that the people of Crete were actually, in quotes, crazy people. They were known as liars and lazy people. Yes, that was what was known about the people of Crete. They were known as lazy people. They were known as liars. But Titus is now there, and he has to train capable leaders for the Christians of the island of Crete. And you know, there are two kinds of people. You say, the job is hard. We can't send him. Then there's also another kind of a person. You say, the job is hard, but we must send him. Because, you know, they are wired to handle hard things. The job is hard. Let's send him. He can get the job done. He can handle the job. I have left you in Crete. You know, there are things that are at a point in time going to be committed to your hands. There are things that are going to be left to your hands. Things that are going to be given to you to handle. There are things that need to be set in order. I've left you in charge of TF. Some of you have left you in charge of Saba. There's a hostel not far from where we meet as a church. I'm sending some of you there. Pent. That thou mightest set in order what is in disorder. Or what is in disarray, or what is in disorder, or what is disorderly. That's the reason why I left you, O Titus. You guys are talking about order of service. It means you're supposed to make sure that things go the way they ought to go. When my pastor came in, and he was, you know, telling me, okay, man of God, you need to start the church. There was one thing he said to me, and I said, what did I say? I didn't say anything, actually. He said, Osofu, I know you like everything done in order. But sometimes you will not have it in order like that. So just start. God is with you. Just start. He was trying to say, the reason why I not started was because I want to have a very good space. I want to have, you know, a very nice place. And he was asking me if that's the reason. You want to have a very nice place. I don't mind. I don't mind starting in my home. I don't mind starting under a summer hat. I really, really don't mind. I'm telling you. If the venue we had here is good, I'm telling you, it's God that gave it to us. I was thinking about seeing how we could repaint the place. Only for me to be told that some people had come to use the place a few days before we intended on having service, and that they had painted what do you call it, the place. So they painted the place for us. I don't mind, but it's good, it's a good thing. But I'm trying to make you understand that there is need for order. There's need for order. The things that we have been put in charge of, let's be good stewards of those things. The people, the lives that we've been put in charge of, let's be good stewards of those things, of the people, of the roles, the responsibilities. And let's be excited doing it. I'm going to be meeting with the music people also. So there are things to set in order. There are things to set in place. Things to do. Because like I said, there's music in our ministry that we have to capitalize on and bless the lives of the people and change people's lives. It's a very powerful ministry. Oh yes, a very powerful ministry. And so we are going to make sure that that is also very, very strong. Music very, very strong. And there are cliques that head choirs, cliques that head music people. We are going to make sure that those cliques are not found in our midst. So, Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause, I have left thee in Crete. You could tell Paul's heart. Left you here. Do it well for me. Establish godly people. Handle the thing well. The job was given. Set in order the things that are lacking. So in a service, set in order the things that are lacking. Don't mind your business. That's not what we teach you here when you are given a role or a responsibility. You're supposed to be interested in making sure that everybody is in corporate worship. Corporate, there's a corporate flow. The church needed order. The church needed leadership order. Timothy was commanded to set in order the churches. You know, the whole phrase is actually like a medical term. And it was applied to the setting of a crooked limb. There were crooked things that need to be set amongst the congregation of Crete. There were things that were lacking among the congregation of Crete. Paul is telling Titus, straighten. There's a crooked limb, straighten. A crooked arm, straighten. frustrating. Now, how was Titus going to do this? Paul didn't hide it from him. He does this, he says, ordain elders in every city as I have ordained or appointed thee. So the setting things in order was that make sure that more leaders are going to be trained, right? That's how you're going to set in order. Is you're not going to set in order by shouting. You're going to set in order by training. So, this is the reason why I've let you in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. How are you going to set in order the things that are wanting? Make sure that there are people who have the mind of leadership, people who have been trained in leadership, people who have a heart in leadership to lead the people, people who are not just in the service and wanting the service to end, wanting the service to close, wanting the things to be off. No, people who understand why they need to be there. People who know how Paul will have the church in Crete raised, because your pastor wants the church raised in a certain way. So you must be able to set those things in order. For this cause I left thee in Crete. There are things that have been left in your hands. Please don't handle it anyhow. Set things in order. Set things in order. Set things in order. The things that are wanting. Set things in order. The things that are lacking. Set things in order. Things that are necessary. You do that by training, raising, appointing leaders, just as I have appointed you. Appoint leaders in every city. Appoint leaders in every city. Make sure leaders are appointed in every city. Raise them. You know, you can't just have people and then you just throw them off into some space. You need to appoint leaders in every city. That's how you set things in order. Oh, so Louise, handle the bus for me. The bus should be in order. Oh, say, Barry, could you handle this for me? Oh, make sure this is happening here, rightly. Oh, say, Kelly, could you do this? Could you handle these people? Could you go here? Could you do this? Okay, there's a group of people I've left in your care. Can you take care of them for me? That's exactly what Paul is writing to Timothy. Set things in order. Set things in order. I mean, Paul is writing to Titus. For this cause, left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. You know, your disciples, there's some of their lives they need to be set in order. If you don't help them, nobody's going to help them. Because God sends you to them to set their lives in order. Set their lives in order. Don't just overlook things. Don't just overlook. You don't ask questions. You don't probe. You don't find out. And you know, I ask you questions a lot. I ask you questions so that you don't think I'm not interested. I'm interested. I ask questions. And sometimes when I was speaking to a couple of, and I said, I want to ask you a question. so that I don't misinterpret what you did. What you are doing, are you trying to tell me? I have to ask, are you trying to tell me that this is what you are, this is what you mean, what you are doing? I want to ask you, is this what you are trying to tell me? So, you must be interested. Don't just hear things and hear them on a very superficial level. You hear them and you hear them well. And you ask questions. Asking questions is very important. It leads many times to the answers of what you're looking for. So in your discipleship, learn to ask questions. That's how you set people's lives in order. That's how you set people's lives in order. That's how you become a faithful steward. A faithful steward. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set things in order. The crooked straighten. The bended straighten. And Crete was very big, because he tells them in every city. So Crete was very big. And Crete was known for having many famous cities. But I'm trying to help you see that as a leader of people and roles and responsibilities, you should be conscious about setting things in order. Set things in order. Set things in order. When you see a place of hazard, does it move you? A place dirty, does it move you? A place messed up, does it move you? Things not going on the way they should, does it move you? Or you are just interested in being there. You just want to be there, doing nothing. No, set things in order. I want to encourage you, set your life in order. Set your life in order. I shared with you how that you can have the Holy Spirit and have a disorderly or disorganized life. Oh, it's true. It's very true. Nobody taught me how to put things in order. Nobody. I mean, growing up, my mother will come into our room. Boy, it's always not easy at all. She can talk from morning to evening because our room or my room is messed up. And she will insult you for leaving your towel anywhere, whatever. Please messed up your things. You pretend you don't put them back into the laundry basket. Hmm. your Pepsodent, you finish brushing, you don't cover the Pepsodent. The last place you leave your brush. I'm talking about me myself. That's what I'm saying. The last place you leave your brush. I mean, the last place you paste. If you were pasting and something happened, or you were brushing your teeth, will I say that? And something happens and you go outside. Wherever it is that you finish brushing your teeth and you wash the brush, you can leave it there. So maybe outside there was a conversation that happened outside. You just go there like that. You leave the brush there. And she didn't take it easy at all. But I realized things started changing when I got to know God and I got serious with Him and I started to pray. It's almost like a setting. I still cannot explain how it happened. It's like there's just a button that is just turned on. And you can't find it again. You look around, you can't find it. So when I find people who are disorderly, I get amazed. And it does not mean I cannot live in a disorderly place. I can live in a disorderly place. But for it to be called my place and for it to be called my disorder, I don't like it. So even in your lives, you need to begin to set things in order. Start thinking about your life and how to put things in order. And let me tell you something. Don't let anybody tell you, I'm telling you this for free, that you are too young to set your life in order and to know what you want to do and to know what decision you have to take. No, set it in order. If there's a decision to be made, you speak to your pastor about it right from the beginning. Then you set your life in order. It's very important. You set things in order. Set things in order. Set it in its rightful place. Is very important. Nobody stops you from having a job. Nobody stops you from having a business. Nobody stops you from being in a relationship. Nobody stops you. It's just setting your life in order. It's not anything. It's just setting your life in order. Of course, after you have carefully discussed that with your pastor. You see, from this time to this time, I need to do this time to this time, this and this. You don't need to compete with anybody. Don't compete with anyone. But you could and you should set your life in order. So when you set your life in order, then it becomes beautiful. Others will have their lives set in order. So I'm talking from a very personal perspective. From a very personal perspective. There are things to set in order. Are you listening? So every one of you, make sure it's so. Right? It's the order. You're just setting it in order. For this cause, I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set things in order. Now, you know, Paul wouldn't have left Titus in Crete if Titus was disorderly. Yes, he wouldn't. Because to have order in a place, you will have to put somebody who is orderly in that place to have order. And that order there is anything that's crooked, you make straight. So order in our personal lives, order in our services. I try so hard to ensure order even in the outlook, the way the service looks. We could have just decided to just come in and look at the number of people that came for the service, for the first service. If what do you call it? We could have we didn't do anything and we just came inside. See, that's even going to this discourage we ourselves. Like, you didn't do anything, you just came inside. No planning, no organization. So there's an order to things, and there are things, there's a way things should be done. Now, I know I've taught you all of that, but imagine if we had instruments and all of these things, but we can't get up and fix the instruments because we are lazy to fix them. Like the people of Crete, they're liars and they're lazy. They can't do anything. For somebody to come to the hall and come and help us arrange the hall, they can't do it. Order of service. Somebody comes to stand and says, I'm going to sing. Another comes to stand and says, no, I'm going to pray. It's a prayer service. Says, we are supposed to sing. The one who is supposed to do the how far we've come session, or the how far we've come segment of the service, it's time. She comes in 15 minutes before. You know how haphazard the place would have been, and how messed up everything would have been. So the Spirit of God in the place causes order, I'm telling you. And I realize that when I begin to pray in a place, you see that my mind keeps hovering. If something is wrongly kept, I pick it and I put it well. I do that till I actually begin to pray. So you see that when the place is orderly, then you can now settle and then you can now flow in whatever it is. That's why even sometimes they say that before you even have a very good, steady environment, your environment which you are in should be very clean and good and orderly. It should be kept in a certain way. So when you sit down, your mind doesn't move and wander everywhere. It's like you're jumping from one place to the other. So there has to be order. Are you listening? Everyone, order in our personal lives. Order in the church. Order in the things we want to execute. If you're going back to school, think about it. Just order in everything. Like you have it planned in your heart. Of course, while discussing it with your pastor, of course, you don't have to do some very dangerous things. Before we realize, you say, no, I have it ordered already. No. And you let him know early. So there has to be an order. For this reason, I left thee in Crete, O Titus, that thou mayst set, you will set in order things that are wanting, the things that are haphazard, the things that are messed up. No, one time I went to somebody to visit the person, and the person's room was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Disorder. And I said, God, are you able to survive in this disorder? Let's not have a trait like this. Are you listening? Disorder. No. There has to be order. There has to be order. Order in our speech. Don't just talk anyhow. Honor. Order. Don't just do things anyhow. Don't just say, open your mouth and you talk anyhow. Order in leaderships. We respect one another. This is the reason why I've left you there, O Titus, that thou mayest set in order the things that I have passed, the things that are wanted. And how you do this? Train leaders and appoint them in every city. That's how you're going to set order. When you see a nation that's disorderly, their leadership is definitely disorderly. You see a disorderly nation, it's their leader. It starts from the leader. It starts from the leader. And I'm telling you that order, it comes from a place. It comes from God. I taught you order in discipleships. It comes from God. It comes from a source. Because the enemy is disorderly. His cohorts are disorderly. His camps are disorderly. They are always disorder. Plenty. Plenty. Disorder. One demon gossips another about another demon. One demon doesn't even like another. Because that's what is happening. It's just disorderly. Like, he doesn't have any order. But in God's house, there is order. So there are things to set. There are things to make straight. Let's not be apologetic about it. Because if we leave the people, they'll grow like that. And because we don't want them to grow like that, we want to straighten them very much. You found me tell us a berry yesterday to sit well. Imagine everybody sits like you, or everybody was sitting like you. And I will not allow you grow that way. Sometimes you might not even know you are relaxed in the chair. Yeah, that's fine. So I'm hoping that all of these things communicate order. You sit up straight, upright. You're listening, you're writing, you're into the meeting. And you see, it will flow like that to other people. It will flow like that to other people. It flows like that to other people. It flows like that to other people. Where we are smiling, we are all smiling. We are serious, we are all serious. We are laughing, we are all laughing. We are enjoying it. All of these are order of meetings. System or projection, you have to see how you can have order. Maybe let's say even the sermon, maybe the sermon title for instance. I'll see how we can give it to you before so that we can get a picture that depicts that. Or Mama Tina, you can work on a sermon picture before the sermon, so we can have it there. You know, sometimes there could be some playouts. Ensure your phones are switched off and all of that, just rolling under for a few minutes so that the people are aware that, no, there's some order here. projection team, I think you guys are doing well, but there's still a swiftness that we will grow into, and I believe that we're gonna have the best of you. When you're singing a song like "Unto the Lord be that glory, great things He has done," that's gonna be like maybe the first projection. When we sing "Unto the Lord be that glory, great things He has done," the moment we sing that "done," it has to change so that we know what is coming afterwards. You don't have to wait for the "done" to be done before you now switch on to the next song. So maybe "Unto the Lord be thy glory, great things He has," the moment we did the "D," once we do the "done," it moves, it has to move. So there's a swiftness that we need to, there's a gap, there's a second or two gap that I realize that you guys miss out on. It's like you wait for the "done," then you now switch it. No. So great things He has done, then is next. So that in our minds we know what is coming after. So you guys should work on that. It all communicates the order. Everything done orderly. Everywhere there's order. In everything that's done, there's order. Order in our timings, order in the things that we have to do, order in the things that we have to say, order in administrations, order just everywhere, setting things in order. All right, so we have to train ourselves to be that, you know, swift. We're fast. So I'm believing that these meetings are going to go a long way into helping us become very, 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 very effective people. And let me tell you something. I was talking to a man of God, and I had to laugh, actually. And he told me that, "Hey, bro, I was preaching, preaching, and I looked at this person's face, and my whole sermon vanished." I was laughing. I was saying, "Oh, I see." So he was tensed around the person because the person would not even smile or look at him. So that's when I said, okay, that means that this thing is really true, you know. It's just that preachers will not tell you, but it's really true. Yeah, it's really true. The moment somebody stands there, you have an opportunity to stir up something or kill what the person has to deliver. You have that opportunity. You have that opportunity. So your reception is going to actually pull in some more, or make the person feel like, "Oh, what I'm saying does not make any sense. Or what I'm saying doesn't bless." Because if it blessed, you would have showed it on your face. And if it blessed, you would have been into it. And if it blessed, you would have been excited about it. And if it blessed, you should have been glad about it. So we must module that. If we want to have the best, I'm telling you, I've already told you, if we want to have the best, we will have to create the best for ourselves to enjoy what we have. We have to. Nobody's going to do it for us. The earlier you realize me as your pastor, it's going to be better. Do you understand? The earlier you realize that. You see, don't just be interested in receiving from my prophetic ministry and healing ministry. No, you miss it. Those ministries sit on a mind. They sit on a perception. They sit on my whole thinking pattern and my whole makeup. They sit on that. All of those things you see afterwards, they sit on something. So when I start to teach, or when I start to preach, or when I start to say something, you must be very interested in those things also, because those things are the things that birth the manifestations, and they birth the things that you are seeing there. You know, I was praying for someone yesterday who had an issue with her eye. She couldn't see. I'm sure my Jemima was not with us, but can you tell us what happened? She was not with us, but I realized she was just a few minutes away, just looking at how it was done for the fellow. Oh, my Jemima, you were not listening. If you are not listening, that's going to be very interesting. Is my Jemima here? Oh, she's not here. Okay, you're trying to call. Okay. Yeah. And I prayed for her and I told her to see, and she could see. There was no noise about it in the service. And you didn't get to know. I wouldn't even have told you if you didn't know. But all of those things are seated in the way I think and in what I believe and in what I say. But if we want to receive the best of all, we must receive everything. Everything. And let me tell you something. I'm not preaching like... let me tell you. What God has given to me is what I'm using. Do you understand? Yes. So you must receive what God has given to me. If you don't like... the preacher, you feel like you need some depth, or you need some... I think you should be quick about it. That's what God has given to me. That's what I'm using. Unapologetically, that's what I have. If you think you need some understanding in a certain way, I don't have that understanding yet. Maybe I will, but as of now, maybe I don't have it. So that is what I'm using. What I'm using right now is what I'm using. So don't expect me to preach like some teacher or some preacher that you know. Don't expect that from me. If you can't be excited about my jokes I share with you, that's what I have. That's what I have. That is what I have. I can't. It's the grace of God. That's what I have. So you're waiting for me to preach like somebody. I'm sorry. That is what I have. I'm not going to change the way I do it or how. That's what I have. So there's still more room for growth in the Word of God and revelation. That's quite interesting to think. And many times you have no idea of bringing all these things together. if I start to teach you certain dynamics, you would appreciate what you have in one man. I'm telling you. It's not that simple as it looks. It's not that simple as it looks. It's not that simple as it looks. And that's why men become specialties. Oh, we only prophesy. We only prophesy. If you take us to the word of God, we can't teach anything. Just give us let's pause. Okay, we only teach the word of God. And we are if it's not teaching and it's anything, we don't do well. Well, as far as we are only power. If it's anything sensible that people should listen to and then flow with, we don't have that time. As far as with me, it's just music. We are a music loving church. Anything apart from music does not make whole sense. Well, as far as just healing. We don't hear God. We don't mention names. We don't call people. We don't minister to them. We just only heal. But you don't appreciate bringing all of these things together. You don't know how. So whatever it is that is happening, that is what I have, and that is what we are going to receive. And nobody's going to be like some other high-class teacher or preacher that you know to tell you new things and to excite you and to open you and say, oh, wow, this thing's very deep and all what I have is what I'm teaching you. So I'm hoping that we also learn to receive very much from that ministry. It's like we receive from everywhere. We're receiving the teaching services, we're receiving the prayer services, we're receiving the camps, we're receiving the workers' congresses, we're just receiving because that is what we have. That is what God has given us. And it all constitutes the order. There's an order to receiving also as well. Sitting up straight. Listening. Flowing. In there. You know, when you're coming to church, you know, there are things that happened to all of us before we came or before we come. Leave those things behind and get into the service full of joy. Are you listening? Everyone. Because it's not about us. If it were about us, we'll carry all our issues and then come and still stand there and project to the people that we have issues. We carry something to them. We stand there and say, this is what's happening to me. But since it's not about us, we must put all of those things aside. Right? It's very important. So we're going to work for this cause. Let I thee increase, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. There are things that are wanting. O Titus, set them in order. Put them in their rightful place. set them in order. Set them in order. Set them in order. Put them in their rightful places. Ensure things are running smoothly. When you're in the service, be on the lookout for things that distract the meeting, things that, you know, make the meeting disorderly. And unapologetically, make sure it is done the way it has to be done. Don't love people beyond what your pastor has given you as an instruction to do. That's being careless. That's being careless. Very careless. Very careless. Very careless. Your Bibles, your notebooks, your pens. How can you be coming to church and you don't have a Bible, a notebook, and a pen? Let's make sure we have some order. I shared with you how that the first time we went for camp meeting, oh, the complaints. Your people are very disorderly. Your people. I was saying, bah. So should I have left you or I should have brought you? And I shared with you instances where Reverend Gilbert shares an experience where they went to Anakazo and the authorities from Anakazo had to call them. And extend their recommendations to them. Because apparently they have never seen a church that came to use a place and left the place the way they met it, or even better. Had to call them. And they want to know which pastor is that. And even told them to give them a commission. They should come and pay for the place again. And then Reverend Gilbert was actually making love. He says, no, the place is too expensive. There was a time I heard they were paying 22,000 per every service. Sure, now it's even more. And it's not a big hall, the small one. Oh, let me say per day. I'm sure now it's even more. So by the time you go there, you're paying over 100 something thousand. If you're using there for 4 days, but that's what we are talking about. And then they are saying, oh, come, we'll reduce it for you. We'll reduce it for you. Because you know how to set things in order. Let's make sure that our eyes are everywhere. Once we're done with the venue, everybody should have that on their heart, that the venue is well kept and well arranged. The toiletries. Let's see to it that it's well before we leave. Everybody should have that heart. I'm not going to commit it to anybody and say that you should. Everybody should be having that heart. Between 9 and 10 p.m. or between 8:45 and 10 p.m. I was around Legon. I went back to the venue to go and check if the washrooms were kept fine. Yes, I went there. You can ask them, what do you call this? I was with the went back there to go and check if everything was done before we now went. So So imagine if everybody has this heart. It makes everything easy. It makes everything easy. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. You do this by training. And what the training is in the teaching. The training is in the teachings. You set things in order by teaching and raising leaders. And that's what I'm doing with you. So when I come in and I find call buttons empty, you are part of this order. Because that's not the order of our meetings on Podbean. It's not the order. So, I believe that we are going to give it our best. That's what I'm teaching you. Don't let anybody deceive you that your pastor is resting and you are the one working. Monkey the work, bamboo the chop. Pastor is the only one working. Oh, you are the only one working. You are the only one doing what you have to do. Oh, you are the only one. No, you are not the only one. No. Everybody is working, I'm telling you. Everybody's working. I get touched when I call somebody and they tell me that, Pastor, please, we just went for follow-up on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday. Yes, I get touched when I do that. Okay, people say, oh, we're going for evangelism here. We're going for follow-up here. Because it's a good thing. It makes me want to labor more. You see, even what is coming and what I see coming, it makes me want to labor more. Because there's definitely more. It makes me want to labor more. Oh, yes. And I'm telling you that I'm going to labor even more. I'm laboring already, but I'm determined to labor even more. Yes, I'm determined to work more. But you see, the work of a minister will be in his study, in his prayer, and his meditations, and in his preaching and teaching. Yes, that's the work. Keep thyself holy to these things, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, and to meditation. And thy profitings will appear unto all. That's the work of the minister. So that we can stay fresh always to be a blessing to you. And so you can be trained, equipped with everything that's needed and necessary for the work to be done. So, I am trusting and believing God for you that you are going to be a trustable Titus to set things in order. The things that are wanting, the things that are messed up, things that are puzzled. Mission 16, set things in order. Set things in order. I'm going to be introducing the report. That one I'll introduce it. Some people have started, some people have not started, but I'm introducing. I'll introduce everybody's going to have reports. They're all going to start right. But it's just that I'm going to, so that when you pick the sample, you don't have to really type lots of explanations. yeah, maybe evangelism Tuesday, how many people spoken to, pray, their names, their contacts, then the word, the title of the sermon and what was shared, scripture references, then you sign off. So that there's not so much words. The words, if you have questions, then you might have to speak to me. So that it becomes easy for you to write your reports. And then maybe there'll be a portion for remarks. And how generally it went, very shortly, 2-3 lines. So that it can become easy for you to write your reports. Those of you who have been, you just listen to things, you don't write, you don't know. When I tell you that you have exams, then you see that we are taking things seriously. So you just be listening and throwing it into the dustbin. Listening and throwing it into the dustbin. You listen, you throw it into the dustbin. One day I'll call you people for exams. You come here, you know, you think you are coming for a meeting, you are coming for exams. And this one, we don't give marks to what you call it. We'll not give marks. We'll call your name, Precious Davis. And we'll mention your mark. So you listen carefully and don't be writing and be learning it and be teaching it the way you have been taught. See, some people be sweating there. And those exams, they are not easy, yo. And you sit down there, finally give you were not expecting it. Your shock absorbers and all of those things will be working like this, because you are trying to pull it out from anywhere possible. Yes. I don't know why I even told you. Come printed, brown sheet. Me too, I've been a lecturer before, a teacher before. A lecturer is maybe like, what is a lecturer anyway? Some of you are lecturers. You are happy when your students are writing exams and you are questioning and quizzing them. Now it will be you also questioned and quizzed. Yes. So you be listening and just be listening. And you don't take notes. You don't know the memory verses. You don't do anything. I feel a lot of tension in this place now. I feel like it's becoming tenuous. Set in order the things that are wanting. You do this by training leaders and appointing them in every city. And he does so. I can show you some of the things that you can tell that he was telling Titus to set in order. See what he says. I'm going to read quickly. Verse 6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, right? Then he gives them criteria for setting in order the bishopric position. For a bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. That's setting in order with respect to what it entails being a bishop. Then he sets in order also, chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That's quite, I mean, that's some order. It's that you can't preach anything. The things which are sound to teach. Then, remember, he sets in order the bishopric office. Now, he's setting in order Paul's writing to Timothy, he's telling Timothy to set in order the character of aged men. That's order, the character of aged men. So in verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So that's for the aged men. If you are old, he says, don't be very loud and without restraint. The aged men should be sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So you can't be an aged man and you are not sound in faith. And of course, I'm sure he's speaking more to the people who are aged in their knowledge of God and also in years as well. So these men who are supposed to be seen as mature, aged, well-grown, are supposed to be sober. They're supposed to be great. They're supposed to be temperate. They're supposed to be sound in the faith. They're supposed to be full of love and patience. Verse 2, see what he says about the aged women. So the order there are things that happen around in the church, in the ministry, in Crete, where he had been left to set things in order. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. You see, because women sometimes can be some way. Not the woman who is full of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the woman who is not full of the Holy Ghost. Come in holiness. Not false accusers. You see that? That's some order. Not giving too much wine. Teachers of good things. Don't gossip, is what he's saying. Don't false accuse. The people who are supposed to be aged women are supposed to be doing this. Now look what he's saying in verse 4. Actually, verse 4. That's some order. It means if you're an aged woman, you are supposed to be responsible for teaching the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. That's honor. So you cannot be an aged woman and then you see somebody who is there and then you can't help. See, in order, even in church, our eyes must be looking around like this. Because there are some people who come to church, they are not given to discipleship. You must get to them. Young girls. Yesterday, I don't know, what do you call it? There was a lady who brought her younger sister to church. I had to call Precious. I said, Precious, come. Take note of this lady. Mission 16, please see how we can help her. So, it's like, we must have that sight. When you see someone getting, the person is not among them, don't let the person just go. Take charge of them. Start discipleship with them. See how you can get to them. I had to take another lady's number who was called Mavis yesterday. I said, she came to say hi to me. And I knew that, no, she's never come to church. She was just invited. I said, no, I'll have to follow up on her. Or I'll have to get somebody to follow up on her. So, in that heart of leadership, like, our eyes must be right there in the congregation. We must get to know the people. Because I can't know all the people. And that's why I'm training you. That's why when you leave immediately after church, you are not a good leader. You're supposed to stay. Talk to the people. Because the people will want to talk to the pastor and other leaders. Talk to the people. See how you can get to the people. See how you can answer some of their questions. See how you can give them a warm welcome. See how you can encourage them to be in church the next Sunday. See how you can take responsibility of getting them to come to church the next Sunday. See who is in charge of discipling them. See how you can call the person and find out how the person that came to church last week is doing. That's some order. Our eyes must be moving to and fro. It's not just somebody you know already. No. Say, who brought you? Say, oh, somebody invited me. They said the church is very powerful. The church is blessed. They teach the word of God. You know, the people are very spiritual. I just decided to come. That's time. That's an opportune moment to sow in something, to get their contacts, to follow up on them, make sure they're in church the next time. So Titus, I've left you, I've put you here so you can set things in order. You can put things in their rightful places. You can set things in order. Young women, teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. That's some order. That's some order. That is some order. That is some order. He said, I heard someone asking somebody, are you like how many years or what have you been doing? I don't know what the person was trying to say. Are we sure we are now starting? Because she couldn't believe it. She said, are you like, okay, what's your services like? Like previously, what were you doing? She was trying to find out for me, like, so wow. I mean, she was not trying to find out from me, but she was trying to find out from somebody. Yeah, she was trying to find out from somebody. So, they may teach the young women to be sober, some order. All the young girls that come in, you people who are girls, you should be moving to them and getting to know them. Some of them will have boyfriends and things that you should be seen as that person, even though you're not the one directly discipling them. And I encourage you to stick to your discipleship groups and methods. But sometimes there's just an interest, even while discipleship is present, while respecting the person that disciples them in their discipleship structure. The young women to be sober. He adds some more, actually. To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. Discreet. It's not everything you say. Some of you were having a meeting like this, and other people can hear what is being said. You're not serious. Wherein lies the discretion? Pastor has a separate meeting with you, and other people can hear what the pastor is saying to you. Wherein lies the discretion? I tell you something, you go and tell somebody else what I told you that I didn't tell them. I have a conversation with you. I've not asked you to have the conversation with someone. You go and have the conversation with someone when I've not asked you to have the conversation with them. There's an honor to this thing. I have a discussion with you before you realize you have that same discussion with somebody else. Young men, you will have to take responsibility. So, Paul is writing to all of these people so that's the order he's setting. The order is not some spiritual chanting. No. It's a structure that works and that portrays the life of God in a place. That's the order. So, young women, They're teaching their husbands to love their husbands, the aged women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, shewing uncorruptedness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you all. So that unbelievers will not come into our midst and say, that's a disorderly church. He's careful about what others will say about the church because of the things that are left wanting. He does not want other people saying that, look at you, you said you have been born again, but you are never discreet. You don't know how to talk. Look at your order of service. Very haphazard, careless. Be sober-minded. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Then he sets in order, 7, verse 9. That's the order. The reasons why he has left him in Crete is so things will be done rightly. On his evangelism campaign, things should be done rightly. Verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things. So you're going to be teaching other people to have order even while they are servants. There's an order to being a servant, is that you obey your masters and please them well. Obey your masters. That's some order. When you go to work, you obey your bosses. Don't be a leader in church and then at your workplace. There's nothing good to write home about. There's nothing good to write home about. Don't be a leader like that. Don't be a leader like that. Do not be a leader like that. A good leader, a good example. Don't tell lies. Don't lie. Always say the truth. Always say the truth. Always, like every time. It doesn't matter who is asking you and what it will do to you. Always say the truth. Don't cover things. Don't cover things. And I told you how to do it. It starts in your heart by making sure that you will not sin against God while trying to be a good person or while trying to look good in the sight of other people or while trying. No, God is the first one. He said, don't lie, don't lie. I told you that as for me, if you ask me something, do not expect a lie from me. You better just kill me. I want it like that. Yes. And that doesn't mean I never lied before. Everybody has lied before, or maybe not everybody, but many people have lied, and I lied also before. But it starts with making up your mind that no. There's nothing. Ask me, pa, lie. No, I will not lie. So, Titus, exhort your servants. Servants, that's honor. You must be obedient to your masters. Do your best to please them. Don't talk back. Don't talk back. Not answering again. It's like you are talking back. Why did you do this? Meanwhile, what you're doing is wrong. Don't talk back. Just agree and do what is right. Not answering again. Don't talk back. Not purloining, stealing. But showing all good fidelity. Fidelity. That they may adorn the doctrine of God as Savior in all times. So that you will make the teaching about God and our Savior attractive. You make it nice. Then he says, for the grace of God will bring you salvation and appear to all men, teaching us to deny all ungodliness, worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So it's setting in order. A thing to be set in order. That's why I leave you, Titus, in Crete. Set it in order. Make straight the things that are crooked. See chapter 3, we're going to be done very soon. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to work every good work. Principalities and powers there are just higher authorities. They should be obedient to laws set by higher authorities. That is to every good work. And I stand to say this firmly. That is to good work. Titus is very clear about it. That is to good work. So you don't say you are subject, obedient to principalities and powers in every bad work. No. You don't subject yourself to principalities and powers, obedient to bad works. But works that are not good, works that the word of God does not endorse. Those ones, you don't subject yourself to them. You obey principalities and powers. They are natural laws that have been set, laws of the land that have been put, and they are supposed to help us. You submit yourself to those laws. Always ready to do what is good. What is good, not what is bad. What is good. What is good, not what is bad. What is good. So when you go to work, you obey to principalities and powers, rules of the land. You obey every good work. You know that there are principalities and powers and magistrates, laws that are set. There are some countries that endorse prostitution. And they endorse the presence of having prostitution as real-time jobs. You don't say that because they endorse prostitution and you are also going to obey so that you can become a good prostitute. No. The obedience is to every good work. So, that's also some order. Left you, Titus. You should make sure that concerning the bishopric office, there's order. There's order amongst young men. There's order amongst young women. There's order amongst aged men. There's order among aged women. There must be an order to your doctrine. There's order in your servants and the people that serve. There's order in the way the church comports itself with respect to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work. The church has to be submitted to rules and regulations that are towards good works. The church should not be rebellious. Order. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no browless. You talk a lot, but gentle, shewing in all meekness unto all. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, His grace, He has saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Then he sets another, thing in order. He says, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and, contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and they are vain. And I like the way he ends the letter in Titus 3. It says, when I shall send Atimas unto thee, or Tychicus, diligence to come unto me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Then he says, bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. So help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos with their trip. See that they are giving everything that they need. He's even setting in order, he's writing to Titus to set in order their ministry engagements and their ministry assignments. Telling them how that those people should be catered for and how that he also should be catered for and the things that he needs. You see, when there's order in everything, there's order in every aspect. Transportation, there must be order. Everything. Our itineraries, there must be order. I say we have an itinerary ministry or administration, and we go somewhere, then we give you the time for 7 a.m., 6 a.m., 5:30 a.m. You come, 6:30 a.m. That's disorder, even in our itinerary duties. When you are sent somewhere to go minister the way you have been asked to minister. He sets order in everything. He sets order in their finances. Because he's telling them to help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos with the trip. So it's definitely going to mean that they're going to see to it that everything they need is there. It's there. There has to be order in our money, in our monies, in our finances. There's supposed to be that order in everywhere. The Lord spoke unto me. He said, your first offering, don't add it to your money. So yesterday, the offerings, I said, please, there is supposed to be an order to this thing. Keep the monies. We're supposed to give it in honor of what the Lord is doing. Give it to me. Just give it to me. Just honor what is happening. So there's an honor to handling everything that happens. So we're going to make sure that everything that entails our life, entails the ministry God has called us to do, there is that order. Are you listening? There is that order. So we are going to work with this. And when we do, others will join in. So there is an order to our rejoicing. There are parts of rejoicing and running, screaming, running, dwelling. That's God's order. I believe that whatever it is we are doing right now, it is going to set a firm structure for what God wants to do in our midst. So we are going to give it our best. Be orderly. The ladies, be orderly. Dress well. Yeah, dress well. I'm not saying dress expensive. You say, Pastor, I don't have money. No, it's not dress expensive. I'm saying dress well. Whatever it is that you have, dress well in it. Be orderly. Be orderly. The guys, be orderly. When you see me call you for an itinerary meeting and you dress like you are going to the zoo, or I'm going with you for a meeting, we come for church services. Of course, none of you dress like you are going to the zoo. It's just a metaphoric statement. So, you dress like you are going to the zoo. You know how zoo people dress? Be orderly. Iron your one shirt. If you have one shirt, iron your one shirt. You have one shoe, iron your one shoe. Polish your one shoe before you iron your shoe and your shoe gets spoiled. You polish your shoe. You're preparing for Sunday service. Start the previous night. Know what you're going to wear. You're coming to minister. You're in red, gold, green, indigo, black, shades of gray. Only you. The choir, we are going to start implementing the dressings. At least we should have white. We should have black. We should have some suits. What do you call it? Some small, small things. Should be able to put some things in place. Right? Yes, it's necessary. We'll get some shirts, black shirts, or something. And, you know, let me tell you something. You don't need money to look nice. Because I've not used money. Yeah. You just need to be, you just need to know how to put simple things together. And you'll be very fine. You just need to know how to put simple things together. You don't need money to look nice. You don't need to have money before you look good. It also communicates an order. Oh yes. You're shocked. You just need to know where to get what. Any shirt you saw me wear with her, whatever, it's not expensive. I'm not saying this so that you start to look down on my shirt. I'm just telling you that you don't need to have money before you can look godly. You combine nice things together, you'll be fine. You combine nice things together, you'll be fine. And you will look fine. People will wonder, where do you get? It's not. It's just. And it's also the grace of God too. So start recognizing that. Yes. So we're going to have honor in our dressings, our outlooks. When you come in, we should see that order. We should see that order on you. It has to be there. It has to be on you. Has to be on you. And I believe strongly that God is helping us, and God is going to strengthen us for the work that He has called us to do. That one should keep it well. What would keep it well? Scarf, keep it well. And I believe that we are going to be very, very blessed. Now, I say this not because I know you have one shoe. I know you have a lot of all of those, but I'm just saying this for somebody who might be thinking, what? You don't need all of those. You just need to be orderly. You iron well. You look presentable. You'll be fine. Is that okay? Yeah. So let's make sure. Everything turns out well. And I believe we are having that also. Okay. That's a very important conversation on order. So we are just going to be enjoying ourselves. Like I told you, the Spirit of God is the God that sets things in order. Right? Alright, so in the absence of no questions, we are going to call it a very fruitful meeting or a very fruitful discussion or teaching. So I believe that we are going to give ourselves to it very strongly. And we're going to trust God very much for what He wants to do. And I believe that everything is going to turn out. So we're setting things in order. All right? Okay. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everyone. Amen.